You are listening to a talk recorded at the 2013 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening presentation given by Brother Rick Szabo on the missionary efforts in South Africa.
A lot of parents have been asking me, can the kids stay for this presentation? The answer is yes. That was one of the reasons why we moved the play performance down to 5 o'clock. Is because tonight's performance and then Wednesday's dancing and Thursday's talent show, they're all kid-friendly. So it's great. Kids can come, see what Africa's like. Or, parents, you can put the kids to bed early. Or they can go out in the back lawn and kick a soccer ball around. So, all right. I'm going to tell you a little bit about South Africa. All right, by raise of hands, anybody here been to South Africa? Look at that. Wow. Anybody here have plans to go to South Africa? All right, one, two. All right, fantastic.
Intentions?
Oh, all right, and I'll ask again after the presentation. All right, more hands might have gone up, and maybe they have all gone down. So, Africa, we moved there, and my wife, Sonia, and our three kids. We moved there in November of 2010. Okay? And it was my company that moved us there. Not a mission assignment, not any presentation that I saw, but it was my company. I worked for an automotive company, and we've got factories all over the globe. And I'm a finance guy. So you're thinking, why do they need a finance guy in a factory in South Africa? That's what they wanted. And I volunteered. And I said, I'm willing to go to South Africa. I called up my buddy Cam Beeler, who was in South Africa as a missionary. And I said, are there any ecclesias in Port Elizabeth? And he says, there sure are. So I told my boss the next day, sign us up. And they put us there for 2 years, a little place called Port Elizabeth. There was an ecclesia of about 40 members. And the 2 years flew by. And we just didn't want to go home. When my two-year assignment came up, my company brought us back to America. But my heart and Sonia's heart and the kids' heart was still in Africa. We were so involved with the church. And we were hearing of all these great outreach projects in Durban and in Johannesburg. So we said, is there any way we can stay in Africa? And so the story goes, my work brought us back. And my work was kind of saying, you know, Rick, we don't really have a spot for you here in America. We're not saying you're fired. No, we'll keep you employed. But you know, Detroit, the auto industry is kind of going down, you know. We might be going through layoffs. You might just need to find your own, you know, niche back in Detroit. I mean, all the signs were obviously from our Heavenly Father saying, there's still plans for you in Africa. And so, Sonia and I, we prayed about it, and we said, you know what? Is there any way we can stay? And so we wrote up a proposal to the WCF to fund us to stay in Africa, and that's what happened. We got approved to stay for another year, and possibly two. And so we're 5 months into that, our second stay in Africa. So I gave my company, I said, guys, take that back. They came and said, we're going to be having layoffs. And I raised my hand again and said, I am willing to be laid off. And so they took my name and they offered me a severance package to be laid off. And a week later, we were on the plane back to Africa. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. So I say, I'm no longer working for the man, but I'm working for the man. So let me tell you a little bit about Africa. Some people I've told, yeah, I live in South Africa. They're like, okay, which country? Is that Kenya, Ethiopia? No, South Africa. Okay, so it's, all right, the southern part of Africa. No, the country is called South Africa. It's way at the bottom. So Port Elizabeth is where we were. For 2 years, and now we're in Durban, which is up the coast. beautiful area on the coast, Indian Ocean currents, warm water, right? Cape Town, that's cold, just like Oregon. No, nothing like the waters here, nothing like the pool here, nothing like the showers up there. Warm water, all right? Now, each of these dots, there are ecclesias. So there's a lot of churches, Christadelphian churches in South Africa. We've had the pleasure of traveling to each of these. But where we are is Durban. South Africa has a lot going for you. I'll tell you what. It is first and foremost a beautiful country. That's a picture at the top I took at the top of the Drakensberg Mountains. I mean, the natural resources in South Africa, they got the diamonds, they got the gold, they've got flora and fauna. It is a place you can explore. If you're a hiker, a naturalist, you'll love it there. It's got the oceans I told you about. And it's got the animals. You could go on a safari every weekend and see something new. And no, lions do not roam our neighborhood. I know a lot of the kids ask that question. And no, we don't live in a grass hut, I'm sorry to say. I'll show you a picture of our house later, but we do live in a house, if you can believe it. But it's like 40 minutes away on a game park, you can see all the animals, you know, lions and leopards and elephants. And you don't get sick of seeing these animals. Kids love it. But at the same time, South Africa has its problems. The ending of apartheid in the early 90s, it's been 17 or so years, and there's still two different worlds there. First world and third world living literally next door to each other. And it's got its problems. But with its problems comes an opportunity. South Africa is a place where you can talk about Jesus on the street to a complete stranger, and they'll listen. They'll stop and listen to you. They're generally interested. I mean, there's been enough, the Dutch have come through, the British have come through. There's enough in the history of South Africa, enough people have come through that have brought missionaries, that it's a very Christian culture. I mean, even in the Zulu or the tribes, God is generally accepted as the one true God. So you can talk about the kingdom of God and people will listen because they are looking for hope. The black population, they've gone through so many struggles. They're looking for a better time, a hope, and they'll listen to you. South Africa is, I think, if you look at the list of as far as like HIV population, it's, I think, top five. I think we're at 18% of the population is HIV positive. In some neighborhoods, like one very close in Durban to us, the adult population is over 60% HIV positive. So a lot of struggles, but also a lot of people searching for the truth. There's Lauren Gint, you know her. First and third world countries side by side. So let me show you a picture of Durban. It's a huge port city. That's where we live now. Roughly the size of Greater Seattle. So it's not super small. It's the third largest city in South Africa. And it's the largest port on the east side of the continent of Africa. Because Johannesburg doesn't lie on a waterway, all the goods coming into Johannesburg stop at Durban first. And so that's why it's a very big city. And it's also a big population of Indians. It's actually the largest Indian population outside of India. So we have great Indian food if you can find the restaurant. Here's our home ecclesia, Westville. And you'll see it probably looks much like your ecclesia. A lot of kids, a lot of adults, and you'll say, wait a second, where's the black people? I thought South Africa was 90% black. Well, there is still a divide. We have black churches and white churches. And so what happened, like 7-8 years ago, some brothers in, and Westville Church and some other ecclesias says, we got to do something different. Our preaching efforts aren't working. We're doing the Sunday evening lectures, we're doing the all the seminars we're supposed to be doing, but we're just not getting the numbers. We're not getting the response that we were hoping for. So they started a campaign. They started a campaign called 2010. And the idea was to get 2010 new baptisms by the year 2010. They started that in 2008. They came up with this logo, the Good News of the Kingdom of God. They had a large gathering, a P2P gathering called a Monzi, where there was a 100 plus people from Australia and America came over and said, here is a new campaign. We got to do something different. We got to cast our nets on the other side of the boat. And they said, we need to start going into the townships, the black poor neighborhoods, and we need to start teaching them, getting them excited. We know they're looking for something. Let's give them the answers. And so that's what they've done. And in Durban, we've got three new ecclesias that have popped up, Marion Hill, Claremont, and Lamontville. And they're made up of mostly Zulu members. Here's a picture of the Marion Hill ecclesia, just 5 minutes away. And there is there's me on the left. And the guy to the left of me, that's Charlie. He's from Australia. I'll show you a little bit more about him later. But man, if you can go to Marion Hill, the singing there will blow your mind. No organ, no piano, no guitar, nothing. Just their voices. And occasionally the Bible did the clap against. But man, the spirituality and the songs that can come from them. Here's a little video.
If you haven't been in Marion Hill on Sunday, you miss a lot. A lot of singing, dancing, worshiping and praising together as one big family. People are dying here because of HIV and AIDS, drugs and all those sort of things. The most important thing is that we also praying that it might be back sooner, so that we will be celebrating the return of him onto this earth.
So what the Westville Church did after that 2008 meeting was they said, we need to start inviting brothers and sisters from all over the world to help out with this campaign. And so what the church did was they actually built like a bunkhouse behind their church with kitchens, with suites, with bathrooms. And they said, these rooms, these hotel rooms, are for anybody who wants to come and help preach. And so I tell you what, we have people showing up every few weeks, some for just a couple weeks, some for a year, just to stay and help preach the word. And I'll go through some of the activities we do, but what a great idea just to change the mindset, change and break the mold of what it means to preach. So here's a picture of the Westville Church on a Sunday. They decided to shut down meeting and go to Claremont and have an outreach day where they passed out some pamphlets, they gave away hot dogs, they sang choirs on the street, they met all the neighbors, and they invited them all to the Claremont Church. It was kind of, instead of an outreach, it was more an in-reach day. We're going to go help the fledgling ecclesia. We're going to go support them. I mentioned this shirt. Now, I'm wearing this for a reason. This is the missionary uniform. The t-shirt, the shorts, and the sandals. We try to wear this shirt everywhere we go. It's our branding. It's our image. We call the churches that we go to Good News Centers. And you come to find out that the community recognize us by our shirts and by the cars that we drive that have the stickers on the side. That's the Good News Center. So when we go out and we tell people, hey, we're going to be having all these activities at the Good News Centers, And they go, oh, okay, you're from the Good News Centers. Oh, you're from the Kingdom of God. And the idea is we wanted to be part of the neighborhood, part of the community. Because it wasn't just working saying, here's a pamphlet, here's what we believe. That was going too deep, too fast, too far. So we said, before they care about what you know, they need to know how much you care. So we're going in to the communities and being a part of them. We're educating them. We're teaching them. We're feeding them. We're taking care of the orphans and the widows. And eventually, someone's going to say, why are you doing this? You know, what's your motivation? What do you believe? And that's when we say, well, we're from the Good News Center, and let me tell you what the good news is. Come on out Wednesday night. Come on out Sunday morning. But first, we have that relationship with the neighbors, relationship with our friends in the community. And it really works. So first, these shirts are the good news of the Kingdom of God. And I think even some of the ecclesias here in America have adopted this logo. I know the Bible Education Center in Urbana uses this as well. Well, when 2010 came and went, and we didn't have 2010 new baptisms, we said, well, we can't just keep with that 2010 logo. We got to change it. So we said, all right, what do we do now? So we called it 2020, Ignite 2020. All right? And when you think of 2020, I think of vision. You got to have a clear vision. And the vision is ignite, I-G-N-I-T-E. In God's name, I teach everyone. In God's name, I touch everyone. And the idea is God's name is going to be ignited. There's going to be uncontrollable flames. It's going to be spread throughout the land. And so that's the logo we use now in South Africa, and even around the world for the idea of igniting God's name. We also have this Community Outreach Program Trust. That is our non-profit status. That's our government face that we have. So what are some of the activities that we do? If you were to come and stay at Westville Church and spend a few weeks with the Zabos in South Africa, what would you be doing? I've been getting this question all the time. Well, first and foremost is the Bible education. We've got a Bible education, or we call them a BEC. We've got a storefront in downtown Durban, in the hustle-bustle downtown area, densely populated, people coming every few seconds down this busy street. And we have classes going all the time. We're handing out correspondence courses. People are coming back with their answer sheets. We're going through their answers. People are stopping in for just general Bible questions. We sell Bibles and sell hymn books there. And we've got a traffic that's uncontrollable there. And we've got a lady there, Mary. She was a Congolese refugee, and we gave her the job of running the BEC. And she's amazing. I think last year she had we had 10 baptisms that came from the Bible Education Center. And at any time, there's three or four brothers working there, brothers and sisters working out of the BEC. And we decided to take the BEC on the road. We had a mobile BEC, we call this, where we set up on a busy street corner on a Saturday or on a Thursday, and we're handing out Bible courses. And this has been very successful. This is a new thing we started in 2013. And at the end of going through the correspondence courses, we have what's called a graduation, BEC graduation. It's a big thing in Africa to get a diploma, to get a certificate that you've accomplished something. And so our graduates usually invite their families to a big celebration at the hall. It introduces them to our church. And we have a choir, and it gets a little rowdy. I got a little video of a BEC graduation. You can see, I'm not up there. So Marion Hill, the church I showed you earlier, they do like a Zulu service one Sunday and an English service the next Sunday. Because people have asked, is there a language problem? Well, there really isn't. There's 11 national languages in South Africa. There's English and Afrikaans are the two white languages, and then there's 9 native languages. But what you'll find is most people speak English as the bridge language so they can communicate. But, we'll find at Marion Hill there are some people that don't speak English, but there's usually someone right next to you that can translate. So it really hasn't been a barrier for us. But I couldn't sing those songs, to be truthful. So Bible education, here is the community center I mentioned. This is Marion Hill. Here's a picture of the outside of it. When we found it, it was just a one-bedroom small house, and we've added on to it. We've added on a church building in the back. We've made a preschool here in the front, and there's, every day there's 25 preschoolers that show up, and it allows us to have employment for a couple of the sisters in the meeting. We run, and then those kids are, of course, welcome to show up at Sunday school on Sundays and invite their parents as well. Adult education. This is one of the major things we do throughout the week. We get together with ladies in the townships, and we teach them first aid. We teach them cooking courses. Here's a picture of first aid. I think that's Choking Baby 101.
Unchoking baby.
Feel free to let them babysit your children anytime. Cooking courses. We found we advertised. This is a new thing that Rick, Sonia, and I tried in Durban. It hadn't been done before. They were doing it up in Johannesburg. We said, let's try it down here. And so we came up with a four-week cooking course where we taught kitchen basics, how to handle knives, hygiene, how to chop, how to use an oven. Some of the ladies had only cooked using a fire and one pot outside their house. So this was all, new skills. And the idea was we're giving them employable skills. They can now put this on their resume that they can be a maid with cooking skills. And we gave them a certificate at the end. They loved it. They were amazed that you could take chicken bones and make stock out of it. Because one thing they found, they eat chicken like every meal. But they would just throw the bones away. We're like, guys, here's a free second meal. You can use those bones to make a stock and then make a soup out of it. And they're like, what? No, say that again. Really? And that was like the one time they stopped and made sure that it was translated, correctly. Am I hearing this right? You can take bones that people have eaten and make something out of it? So, to me that was worth it. And this was part of our cooking course was education on sugar and the amount of sugar they consume. When it's the fifth time they've done that into their cup of tea, and you realize you've got 3 cups of tea a day, 7 days a week, and you're telling these ladies, you're consuming 50 pounds of sugar a year. They're like, oh. And then, so this was showing them how much sugar is in soda. We had a lot of fun with that. Here's a picture of all the ladies holding up their certificates, very proud of themselves. And of course, the idea is to mix in scripture with the cooking courses. So each of the classes we had 2 or 3 times where we asked a question and the answer was based from the Bible, and so it got them starting to think about the Bible. And of course that was an invitation to our Wednesday class and our Sunday class. So very successful. Youth programs. So during your week in South Africa, you'll be asked to come help out with the soccer club or with ESL club, English as a second language, teaching the children, or Sunday school crafts. Here is a Marion Hill soccer club. You can see our 2 boys there. The thing is, we're not just Sonia's a missionary or I'm a missionary. all five of us, we come as a package, and we're all involved every day with the mission work. And the kids love going to soccer club. They love going and helping out with the disabled children. And we teach simple spiritual lessons through the game of soccer. You know, you show up in the township carrying a bag of soccer balls, you don't have to say a word. The kids will just line up and follow you down to the soccer field. It's like the Pied Piper just carrying soccer balls. And the kids just run up, and actually they want to carry the soccer balls for you. They want to be your helper. You know, they might not speak English that well, but they know I'm here to play with them. And I'm it's my highlight of the week is my Tuesday and Friday soccer clubs. We're also we help with after school education. This is a school nearby that has a big group of orphans where after school they really don't have a place to go back to. So the school has agreed to feed them an extra meal, and they've asked us to come and help entertain the kids. We educate them. We run a soccer club. This particular week, we had a safety week where we taught them the dangers of, you know, kind of living on the street and who to go to for help, the police, the social workers. And so it's great when schools are starting to ask us to be more involved with them. We help out with a few disabled homes. This particular one, Settlers Home, I mean, these kids are in rough shape. Nonverbal, really. It's really just giving the nurses a break. They don't have a lot of time to work with the kids, to stretch out their muscles, to exercise with them. And I'll tell you what, nothing tugs at your heartstrings more than helping out with some severely disabled children. And getting our kids there, too. And it is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. ESL, English as a Second Language, helping out there. And then I mentioned that each of these community centers have preschools that we run in them. Well, we show up to each of the preschools once a week and do Sunday school lessons with the kids, making crafts. I think that was, if I can just guess, maybe Daniel in the Lion's Den. And sing songs. Here we go. Having a lot of fun there. And then here, some of the other things that we do that don't really fit into a category. We held a How to Teach Sunday School seminar for all of the new ecclesias, the new township ecclesias, because the idea is for sustainability, they can't have always a white volunteer come to their church and teach their kids Sunday school. We got to help them and teach them so they can teach their own Sunday schools. So we had everybody who's interested come to the Westville, and we told them, you know, here are the basics. Here's how to do it. It's not that hard. We have a couple times a week, we have CrossFit Durban volunteer style, which was something that Rachel Johnson wanted to do. She wanted to start exercising more. So this is our backyard with a couple volunteers. So you will stay fit if you come to Africa and hang out in Durban for a little bit. This was us canvassing the neighborhood. This looks like a traditional North American neighborhood, right, with sidewalks and street lights and fire hydrants. This was me going, now, where am I? Have we knocked on that door yet? and you can see Charlotte walking around with her gumboots on. Invest in a nice pair of gumboots. And then there's also recreation. Here's a video of me jumping off a bridge, which happens to be the world's highest bungee jump. So if you trust South African engineering, and let's just see how it goes. It is 660 feet. Here's the shot when they back out and unzoom it. So if you're an adventuresome type, we can do that as well. To get back up, they send somebody down on a hoist, and they come and clip me and crank me up. That was scary. That was scary. So some people have asked, well, where do you live? Well, does anybody know here know who these people are? That's right. Cam and Kim Beeler. They are our neighbors. All right? They moved to Africa four years ago, I think so. They were missionaries, like us, for 3 years. And then they loved it so much, they didn't want to come home. So Cam got a job. And they, you know, basically left the mission field and started the work field. And they were in a duplex. And the same time the neighbor of their duplex left, we decided we were moving to Durban, and their place came available. So we now live next door to the Beelers. And having Christadelphian neighbors and, you know, friends before we moved there, you know, we're like, how does that happen? I mean, God is amazing to let that happen, where we can live next door, you know, to your best friend in Africa. And they've got three kids, two boys and a girl, just like us. So it's amazing how that works out. You know, God is so powerful. So this is our house. We got Zabo and Beeler, so you mix it together and it's Zabler. So we call that the Zabler house. And we have Zabler dinners once a week where it's both families together. But you can see we've got, that's their front door, and that's our front door. And most days both front doors are wide open and there's six kids running up and down, up and down, up and down. And occasionally we have to shut the door and say, we just need some Zabo time. And they say the same thing. We just need some Beeler time. But it's amazing. And we're about 1 mile from the church. So very close. Right. Well, you can see we've got, there's a gate. We open the gate to take the photo. And we've got, you can see there's some bars in the window. I can tell you more about it later. But that is one of the unfortunate things. There is crime in South Africa. But I wouldn't live in downtown Detroit either. So you got to take precaution, you know, wherever you live. Yep. Here's our boys. They gave us a gigantic car. They said, they actually bought this car for us. They said, we know you have a huge family, three kids, so we went out and got a big car for you. It's a Chevy Aveo. There's five seatbelts. I mean, perfect. You don't need any more space than that. No. It took seven trips from the airport to get us. No. I think one suitcase fits in the trunk. But part of the boys' service is every Friday they wash all the volunteers' vehicles. So that's one thing that, you know, we have a Friday morning meeting where we plan all the activities of the next week, and the boys are out back washing the cars, so they're involved there. And there you see our logo there on the side. So that's a little bit about Durban. And that is a long ways away from Portland, Oregon, isn't it? So the question is, what can you guys do here to help way over there? So how can you help? I'm going to speed this up. First thing, you can pray. None of this happens without God's blessing. You know, none of the outreach that's happened already could have happened without God. We wouldn't have been there without God's blessing. First thing, ask your ecclesia to pray for us. Put them in your own personal prayers. Or you can come. Those are our suitcases, our 11 suitcases to move to Africa. Get on a plane and come. You know, here's some profiles of people that have come that we've interacted with in the last 5 months. You know this guy? Where's Tom? You here? All right. Thank you, Tom. He took a semester off college to come. Matt Bellello, he works at the Bible Education Center. He teaches ESL classes, helps out with Sunday school. Lauren Gent came. has a heart for children with special needs, spend a lot of time at those disabled houses. Charlie, a retiree, he's project managing the building of a new Bible education center in a different neighborhood. You'll see people at all different stages of their life. There's us, helping out with fundraising, and we're homeschooling our children there. You can ask us about that. Here's Rachel Johnson came, a nurse, very helpful. If you have if you're a nurse or have any of those skills, man, we use it every day. She had a heart for young people. This was Adam Winfrey. He spent 3 months there helping out, just a jack-of-all-trades type of guy. Here's a family, the Larsons from San Diego. He's building a new community center, and they put their kids in school. So you don't have to homeschool. You can put your kids in school. Here's Sam Turner. He came when he was unbaptized, spending 2 months there helping out with the volunteers. He said, I got to get baptized. He got baptized and stayed for another 6 months. And then there's another family working in Margate, which is about an hour away. He's a carpenter. You don't have to be a knock-on-the-door preacher type. He just said, I'm a carpenter. That's what I do. Can you put me to work? And we did. Yeah, there are projects. You don't have to be the traditional, you know, preacher man. Yeah, you can. Whatever your skills are, we'll put you to work. And they decided to take their kids out of school for the year to help out. So there's, you know, all different ways to do it. There's no recipe for being a successful missionary. Just come. We'll put you to work. Or you can give money. And there's many projects. I'm not going to go through all these, but all the way down to, you know, $25, we can sponsor a soccer club. And, you know, we're there for another year. We can make sure it happens. We can run the program with your money. You can sponsor Bible classes, ESL clubs, soccer clubs, teen education. You can give a little more, and we can send a family to Bible school. We can create another mobile Beck unit with an umbrella and a table and some signs and literature, and we can make sure more street corners are covered. Or if you're, we can spend the money. I'll just tell you that. But you can also follow us. We've got some blogs that we keep updated. This is our personal Zabo family blog. When you mix Zabo and blog, you get Zablogo. That's the name of our website, zablogo.wordpress.com. It's our official website. You can go there and donate if you'd like. Ignite2020.com. And last thing is our Facebook site. This is free. You can go like our Facebook site for free, and we'll keep you up to date. This is the one time I'm going to allow you guys to get out your BlackBerries and your iPhones and go to Facebook and like our site. But I'll tell you what, it's been nothing but God's hand in allowing us to be in South Africa, to be there the first time through my company and now the second time as missionaries. And I encourage you to just look within yourself, to come, to pray, to give. You know, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. So thank you, Heavenly Father, and thank you all for listening. That's all I have.